Can you explain how you're going to achieve those savings? Can you do it by executive order, or how are you going to do it?
Negotiation. We have contracts, and we'll look at a variety of ways. The state employees particularly have come forward with some very imaginative ideas. They've been helpful. They've been willing to step up to the plate, even though they represent some people who are not paid all that much. So we will work for a 5% cut, and we're going to figure it out. But that will be the financial value of the changes we make, and they will be mutually arrived at.
You've been asking schools to effectively believe that the taxes are going to pass and not to cut back their budgets in advance. But as you know, as some of the surveys have said, they're planning for the worst already, which means that they could be putting cuts in place in advance. How do you deal with that, and how do you tell the public we're going to fund schools if the districts are not willing to bet?
Well, each district deals with it in their own way because they're different. Some have more reserves. Some didn't spend all their federal money. Others are in more difficult straits. So we've been meeting regularly with a number of superintendents. I met just last week with the Association of School Administrators. Look, we'll work through it the best way we can. Unless the legislature provides bridge funding, which they can't do without Republican votes, which are unavailable, then this is the only way we can do it. So we'll work the best way we can. And if there are individual districts that have a particular problem, well, then they should let me know, and we'll see how we can work it out.
And if I can ask, you are asking them to assume the taxes. You're asking them to go along with you, trust you that it'll happen.
I'm asking them to plan a prudent budget based on their understanding of what we're trying to do. I can't, you know, redesign reality. It is what it is. You see what it is. The schools are going to be looking a lot better in the coming years if we get the taxes. And I'm counting on the voters to say yes, because how much – I know voters don't want to cut schools. I know they don't want to cut law enforcement. And then the question is, how much do they want to raise revenues? And from everything I can see, I think we have a very good chance to get there.
Governor, we know now that the budget passed last June is billions of dollars out of whack. The budget you proposed in January is no longer inoperative. Why should we believe these numbers any more than those numbers that you had in the past?
Well, Dan, I was waiting for you to ask this question because it reflects the questions you've been asking for most of the time you've been here.
Because I'm a declinist, I guess.
In some ways, you are a declinist.
But are you now a declinist now because you're talking about the economy?
I am a buoyant optimist. And we are going to build high-speed rail. We're going to complete my father's water plan. We're going to realign our whole prison system. We're making some real interesting changes in schools. But here's the deal. We have an uncertain economy. We had very good revenues in June. It looked like we had the money, and therefore we put the budget together in the way we did. I don't just quickly jump on austerity and take pleasure in cutting jobs from schools or health care or anything else. So where we see, and this was based on what the Department of Finance people felt, a reasonable shot that we could get that $4 billion, we did, and we put it in. We didn't get it. We took the we took the trigger cuts, and we always have to prepare for getting less than we expect, or in some cycles we'll get more. That's the way it is. But the point is, it's very easy to play gotcha, real simple. But when I have to cut and people lose their jobs, or a mother loses her child care, maybe her job, I'm reluctant to do that if there's a plausible reason why we might not have to. Now, it turned out in this case, we didn't get the money. This, I think, is pretty careful projections, and they can just as easily be wrong on the upside. And we could be having more money, and then people coming in want to spend more. The capitalist system is not coincident with your expectations of exactitude. It doesn't play like we may want it to. It goes up, it goes down. Even Jamie Dimon, who is the guru of Wall Street, just blew $2 billion. Okay, that's a big miss. So we all have to live with the uncertainties of the business cycle, but we do our best. Anna did her best, I did my best. I think you should give us the same benefit of the doubt that we give you. Now, unless you think you're more honest than I am, or Anna is, and I don't think that's the case. We're all trying to do our jobs as best we can, and I've tried to not precipitously jump into more cuts, but to take them only when we need them. And I'm laying out some pretty tough cuts. Ask the legislators. They have already made some pretty tough cuts from their point of view and from the point of view of a lot of people. So this is the best that I could do. I've been thinking about this a long time. If one of you guys can think of something better, I'll be glad to. I'll read your story tomorrow, and if it passes the smell test, we might even incorporate it.
But Governor, what do you say to the critics who say that these cuts that you're targeting on K through 14 education is a strategy to get support for your tax initiative?
Tell me where else I can find them.
That's your job.
No, but I know it's my job, but you're a citizen too, and you have to vote on the initiative. The fact is, schools are 40% of the budget, and if you look at Proposition 98. It's going up much faster than the rest of the budget. So when the revenue doesn't come in the form of taxes defeated, then that's where the cuts have to come. And government's doing a lot of good things. Government is a nurse, it's a teacher, it's a highway patrolman, it's someone working in a mental hospital. And when we cut, that's what we cut. And there are ideologues who say government is an abstraction that you can just completely eviscerate with no impact in the real world. Well, that isn't true. And that's why when we don't get the taxes, we're going to have bigger cuts. And I'll be certainly the legislature and the Republicans, if they really want to stand up, can offer other alternatives. Somebody can figure out a better trigger cut, be my guest.
Governor, talk about the new cuts in this budget. I mean, how much bigger are the cuts in this budget than what you proposed in January? And outside of employee compensation, can you talk a little bit about some of the other programs you targeted and why?
Well, we take wherever we can find it with the least amount of pain. See, what are some of the other big...
Redevelopment.
What?
Medi-Cal.
We took more out of Medi-Cal.
How much more out of Medi-Cal?
Oh, the hospitals, the nursing homes.
Okay.
Yeah. She'll be here to give you the special
details.
Do you
think all the redevelopment money, using the redevelopment money for the general fund? Then?
All the we kept taking about a... $1.4 billion.
Governor, can I follow up on the forecasting issue? Given what just happened and that you missed, on the May and June expectation, if that happens again this May, this June, you see a bump, are you not going to go that route again? If the May and June revenues this year are higher than you've now projected in this revise, are you going to commit to not go that route again, given what happened last year?
I don't think the chances of a bump are realistic. I don't see it happening. But I want to... I think what we did last year was reasonable when we did it. I want to be very cautious this year for a very important reason, that cash is going to be tight, and we therefore have to have the tightest budget we can make it. Otherwise, it could be difficult borrowing. So we have to be tighter than we might otherwise want to be, because we got to make sure that it's a financeable budget.
Can you isolate why the revenues came in that much lower? Can you say, was it personal income tax? Any of the corporate changes that have been made in the past year that have taken effect?
I think it's mostly personal income tax.
It's $2 billion in corporate tax, and the personal income is also down. Corporate tax use of credits is up, and corporate profits are down from prior estimates.
Remember, if you take the evisceration of the car tax and the single sales factor, that alone is $7 to $8 billion, and that is a continuing drag, which this tax increase will make up temporarily. And we hope that if, as the economy increases, then we can level that out. But it will take continuous discipline, because there will be efforts to restore everything as soon as the money comes in.
Governor, given your reliance on the RDA money, local court reserves, aren't you just digging a hole that's going to be just as big the next year?
No, counting on
a lot of one-time money.
Yes, we are, because there's one-time problems. So, yeah, it's not all ongoing problems. If you notice, the ongoing problem is about $8 billion. We can fill up. Here's the thing. You want to have ongoing cuts. They're the toughest. And then some one-time cuts. we do both. And the real problem will be to get the one-time cuts at the level that we've even asked, which is half. Is it about half?
Because 7.6 is a one-time problem.
So that's the point. We give one-time cuts for a one-time problem. But I can tell you, getting the ongoing cuts, they're the most painful. There'll be the most resistance to those. Just getting half of what we want. Yeah.
Governor, does your proposal for a four-day work week include the Department of Motor Vehicles? And if so, how do motors will react to that?
Well, we're just going to stay open later. So we're going to work through all that. We're listening to the employees. We're trying to save money. There's no easy way. There was an easy way. And by the way, thoughtful, honest people are trying to figure it out. If any other thoughtful, honest people come up with a better idea, it will be incorporated. And we met with John and Daryl last night, and they're certainly going to look through all this and come up with their thoughts. Yes?
Governor, can you talk about the Facebook IPO? How much do you count on it? How'd you get that number, and does that save us?
Well, you know, who knows? That's Wall Street, you know. If Jamie Dimon, who's supposed to be a real smart guy, can't know that he's losing $2 billion, it's kind of hard to know. So I hope Facebook brings in a lot of money, but I'd leave to Anna to speculate exactly how much that'll be. But we don't have – this is not money in a piggy bank. It's millions of complex transactions, buyers and sellers in a free market. What that results in and how it translates to taxes, that's a matter of guesstimate. Not confident prediction. So I'd be a little cautious.
Your budget assumes an $880 million cut in CalWORKs.
It's very difficult, but here's the problem. What government does is good, and a lot of Democratic legislators see the good, and they are really troubled by cutting back on something basic that is good. But the fact is, we're in a democratic society. We have so much money from the people, and we got so much spending. We can have be out of alignment for a while, but now, given the decade of fiscal disconnect, I've committed to righting the ship of state and getting it into balance. What that means is that things that are good in and of themselves have got to be stopped or curtailed if we're going to have balance. Otherwise, we borrow and sink deeper into debt, and you see Spain, Portugal, Italy, Ireland, England, they're all having trouble. So while the short-term pain is real, I think the greater good is to balance the revenue with the spending, and that's what I'm committed to doing as quickly as that becomes possible. But is it going to be a hard sell? Yes, it is going to be.
Governor, do you regret that you didn't add more to your tax hike plan, that you didn't seek more revenues?
After I see what the vote on it is, I'll tell you.
Well, no, seriously, if you can answer that, were there other options that you could have explored to put on the ballot?
As I said, this is a matter of judgment. What will the people vote for? What is fair? And then what works with the budget problems? And I came up with the answer. So could it be more? You know, then people will say it'll be more volatile. I mean, any way you go, you have a problem. I picked something that I thought was fair because in the last three decades, the most affluent in California have doubled their share of the state's income. So I think it's fair. And two, it appears to be what the people want when you survey them. So that's why I picked it. Now, could it have been more? Well, the AFT one was more, but I felt three was as high as we ought to go.
Governor.
Yeah. Oh, there. A big reason why. Hey, look who's here in Sacramento.
Yeah, baby came on up to you. For the average family out there,
yeah.
Not a state worker, and you're just driving your car to work and stuff, what does this budget, how is it going to change their life if it passes with these cuts, and what's going to change if they don't get the tax?
Well, what will change if we don't get the taxes is schools will suffer several weeks depending on how they want to do it. It won't be pretty. So that's not good for the schools. It's not good for the university. Those are the and then there's some other cuts as well. We have more spending obligations than we have revenue. I've bumped up the revenue on condition that people say yes. If the people say no, then we'll have those trigger cuts, and it will be felt at UC, it'll be felt at the Cal State campuses, and it'll be felt in every school district in the state. That's where it'll be felt. Yes.
Governor, one of the reasons your estimate is so far off is because you overestimated, or the Department of Finance overestimated such a disconnect.
No, it's not a disconnect. As I said, it's fair because the shares of income going to those income owners have been totally disproportionate to those people that Mr. Mateer just talked about. The share of most Californians is shrinking as the money is redistributed upward because of a variety of factors. So I thought the tax on people making $500,000 or $1 million was fair. Secondly, it's a temporary tax. And in the recovery, the progressivity of the tax will capture more of the money and help us pay down our debt and fill our budget gap. It will expire, hopefully, before the onset of the next recession. So I don't think it's going to be quite the same.
By doing that, and then does that leave a deficit next year, or do you rely on it to increase revenue from the economy?
What we do is we have one-time revenues to handle one-time budget problems. I think when Anna gets up here, as I think she soon will, ask her that, and she will be more precise than I will. Yes, I think you had a question.
It seems like you're putting $200 million in the national mortgage settlement in the debt service on the bonds for housing passed in 2002 and 2006. I mean, what's the nexus between debt service on things passed a decade ago to people who are, having problems right now with their
Are you workers? Talking about the settlement money?
Yeah.
The settlement money is going to be used, but will really, in effect, replace some general fund money that we can use for other things. But it will still be going for the purposes that the lawsuit intended, unless you can say it better than that. As hundreds of funds, we have lots of restraints and rules, and figuring it out is not just showing up and saying, okay, we got a $8 billion gap, let's start cutting like someone in business. It's a pretzel palace of incredible complexity. And that's why it isn't straightforward how you balance the budget. And we do the best we can. And the people doing it are not playing games. They're not playing tricks. They're just trying to get it done. And I'm trying to put it all together and persuade the voters that we ought to get some more revenue. Yes?
I know that you can show the taxpayers all these numbers and about trying to get...
The limitations are very important. And I will be pushing them. I am pushing them this year, but everything has to go in sequence. Right now, we're asking for some painful cuts. And to get the painful cuts, we'll bring up some painful pension reform.
Governor, your tax measure, the rewritten tax measure, is much bigger than the one, a couple billion dollars bigger than the one from January. Why haven't the triggers grown commensurate with the growth in that tax measure?
They have grown. They were like four.
Only a couple hundred million dollars, though. They were like 5.4.
Yeah,
sure,
got your six.
Nine, right?
No, that wasn't
done. All right. I'm going to.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Governor, even though this is my 12th year doing this, it's still coming.
Governor, could you answer one more question about the complexity? Spending reductions have not happened in the way that you had hoped they would happen. That's
but
part
they've
of the,
happened right. beyond anything anyone would have expected.
But part of what was budgeted to be reduced has not been reduced. And I'm wondering if you could speak broadly, as your experience through the years, how difficult it is to actually get the spending down. Even the budget says cut it, and it doesn't happen.
Very difficult, obviously, because takeaways are never pleasant. I mean, take a look at what's going on in Greece. Take a look at the 100,000 people marching in Spain. Once you have it, it's much more painful to give it up than if you don't get what you desire. And that's why it becomes very important to block new spending proposals. It is difficult, and that's just life. It's called the cliff effect. We push you off, and nobody likes falling.
Governor, what's in your budget for high-speed rail, and how are you planning to spend the cap-and-trade money?
That's an open question. That's still being worked through. There is nothing in the budget Is it for the
There's the bond.
Okay.
And we're asking the federal government to front load their federal funds to keep things at a minimum. That's what we're hoping for.
Governor,
all right?
Yes. All these cuts to the judicial branch, do you think it's going to hinder its ability to operate as a co-equal branch and into the
Was that the courts?
Yeah, the courts.
Well, this is the problem. The money is not in a piggy bank. It comes from the people, and the people are sometimes more successful than at other times in terms of their businesses and their income. So when the money's not there, government has to cut back, or you've got to borrow or kick the can, sweeping their reserves, and just like everybody else, they are not, and nothing in government is an absolute unconditioned good. Every good is relative to all the other goods and in the context of what's available. So we make the best judgments we can, and as the courts make their arguments, the legislature will listen. And they'll weigh that against child care. They'll weigh that against CalWORKs. They'll weigh that against a lot of things. And we'll come up with a budget on June 15th. But just the way it is, we got three branches of government, and they both are going to have some of their branches trimmed. Okay?
You talked about the pain that people will feel if the taxes aren't passed, but could you...
So not in Medicare, and, or rather Medi-Cal, and nursing homes, and hospitals, and CalWORKs, child care, this is all employees, 5% cutback, this is all real. But the fact is, California has been living beyond its means. The United States of America, in its federal government, is living beyond its means. A lot of corporations have. A lot of people. They spend more than they take in. Well, there has to be a balance and a day of reckoning. This is a type of day of reckoning, and we got to take the medicine. That's my recommendation. We'll see what the legislature does, and then I'll have a chance to react, and then the people will.
Last question.
And the support from Democrats for this plan.
How do I? What's your question? What do I expect?
How do you expect for the budget negotiations? What is your strategy?
What do I expect? I expect them to be difficult. Difficult, and I don't know what the right adjective is, but I'd say challenging. Moments before we finally get this matter resolved.